Hey, my name is Valerie. Ran up on my salary. Ran up to New York and then I tripled up my salary. Burning all these calories. Go ahead and follow me. Valerie with a V. Yeah, babe, that's me. Yeah. Woo! Welcome, everyone, to the very first episode of Passenger Seat Parlay. I am your host, Valkyrie Rain, a.k.a. Val B., a.k.a. Big V, if you ask the right people. And I am in... Y'all saw the energy. I came in fresh. But it's all right. This is life. We're just lifing it up right now. But welcome to Passenger Seat Parlay, where you guys are joining me on a conversation where we're going to dive into the depths of life's topics, just like you would on a long drive with a friend, from personal stories to industry insights. We're going to explore it all. We're creating a comfortable, safe, and intimate space for connection growth. So go ahead and sit back, put on your seatbelt, and let's join the parlay, because it's going to be a vibe on every drive. Lego. See, much better. Now, you guys are going to hear episodes where I was fumbling and reading because I'm trying to be a perfectionist, but I had to come to Brooklyn Podcast Studio and just like re-record my intro because it was not me. It was not giving Valerie. And now it's giving Valerie. I had to get a little comfortable. So shout out to Brooklyn Podcast Studio out here in Garfield Place. Did I say it right? Garfield, yes. So they are the best. It's a whole bunch of fire signs in here too. So you know your content about to be fire. So I wanted to go ahead and introduce you guys to who I am, Valkyrie Rain. I am a first generation Haitian American who was raised in South Florida. Correction, the suburbs of South Florida. So I have a lot of insider stories that I just want to get into. I'm also a weight loss patient. This channel podcast is going to discuss weight loss tips, health. I'm very spiritual. I am the friend that's going to call you, or you're going to wake up to a text from at 3 a.m. saying, hey, I just had a dream about you. I saw this, this, and this. You need to be careful of that. I am that friend. And that is a gift that I have. And I decided that this is going to be my platform to where I share this talent and this grace with the world. So yeah, this is going to be a vibe. Enjoy the drive. Now, what I want to go into is why I wanted to start this podcast. This podcast means a lot to me. This is a way that I'm letting my ego kind of run wild. Now, I kind of want to debunk what people think of ego. I know we have a depiction of ego as the devil on the shoulder and the angel. So we're going to go back to Psych 101, right? The ego is comprised of three components. You have your ego, your superego, and your id. Now, we associate the id with the devil, you know what? You should go ahead and eat that cookie. That's the id. Versus the superego, who's, you know, maybe we shouldn't eat that cookie, right? Now, I feel like a lot of people, when you hear all these spiritual channels and talks about, no, destroy the ego. Don't let it control your life, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, that is not how ego works. Ego is a balance. You can't destroy a part of yourself. It's always going to be there in place. Now, prime example, in this podcast, my superego saying, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't tell our personal business on the internet. Like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing. And my id's like, nah, bitch, blow that shit loud. Like, no, this is who you are. Be that bitch. And then my ego's just like, just watching those two fight. And there's going to be times on this podcast and this channel where I allow my superego to drive the car, where I'm going into the depths of deep, dark feelings that I've never expressed, just kind of sharing my life's experiences with you. And there's going to be days where my id is driving full speed, blasting loud music, freestyling, rapping. We don't know what the vibe's going to be. But what I want to do is invite people to feel free and express themselves, and also to kind of show that you are not alone in this world. Everyone is experiencing this life, this matrix, all together at once. We all have our novellas. We all have our stories. We all have our narratives, but we're all the same. We're all one collective energy. And I'm just here to spread the nice and spread the ice and a little dash of spice, because that's just me, Valerie with a V. Look at that. You see how that rhyme? She's a classic. So with this particular first episode, I just kind of want to answer some Q&As that I put on my Instagram just so you guys can get to know me a little better, you know. We'll see. I'm going to answer the first question out of my little jar. Let's see. Question is, how do you think we can work towards greater self-awareness and personal growth? Jeez, this is a very college-educated question here. How do we think we can work towards greater self-awareness and personal growth? Meditation. I feel like, especially living in New York, I find it hard to find stillness sometimes because this is a very go-go-go city. There's always something to do. There's always some crazy shit happening. It can be overstimulating at times, but you definitely need to find some form of meditation, whether that be yoga, actual meditation in a quiet room, working out, reading, and also just kind of reflecting, taking time to reflect on life and really deep dive into what is really the core of your root issues. Because there's a whole bunch of people out here projecting and flexing on the gram. All right, next question. Oh my God, why are these so small? Gonna bring it all. You see, I'm struggling. Here we go. What's the most important lesson you've learned about relationships, and how has it impacted your life? Oh, these are some good questions, y'all. What's the most important lessons you've learned about relationships and how it has impacted your life? I think one of the most important lessons I've learned about relationships is that all relationships aren't meant to last forever. I used to be the type of, you know, young girl who would make friends and, you know, I would be really hurt when I'd have to be separated from my friends, like some type of separation anxiety or some sort. But and say like my best friend in seventh grade, her and I are not best friends anymore. And, you know, I would kind of like mourn that relationship versus now that I'm older and I have the retrospect to just look back and be like, you know what? That relationship was there when I needed it to be there. And instead of mourning the relationship of what it once was, it's kind of like celebrating and reflecting on, you know, reflecting on how the relationship went and how it has improved me as an individual for future relationships. So yeah, I think just learning to let go peacefully, that's what I've learned throughout relationships. And that goes for like platonic and, you know, romantic ones as well. Ooh, child. Let's see. Next question. What's the craziest thing you've ever done in your life? The craziest thing? The craziest thing I've ever done in my life is fly to a foreign country to have a major organ removed with nobody knowing during a global pandemic. That is the craziest fucking thing I've ever done in my life. I had weight loss surgery in Mexico. I had the vertical gastric sleeve where 80% of my stomach has been removed and it's somewhere in a landfill in Mexico and nobody knew except my three best friends. Yeah. That was crazy during a pandemic. And when I told them, everyone was giving me the side eye like, Val, are you sure? And I was just like, listen, I prayed about it. God sent me the vision and he gave me the okay. And he really did. I'm going to go into that on a separate episode when I go into the details. But I don't do any, I am very impulsive, you know, and I know my friends are like, oh my God, there goes Val again. But listen, I do consult people. Why? I consult God. Like when after I tell people, if I'm going to tell people I'm doing something and if they're giving me like kind of wonky feedback, because I do have to, you know, be like, all right, Val, am I being the Aries Taurus cusp that I am and I'm being too impulsive? But if I pray about it and God gives me a clear answer, then I'm like, I can't go against God. It's the G-O-D. Like he got me. If anyone got me, it's God got me. So he said, it's okay. So I went. All right. If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why? Any superpower? Oh, come on, blurty girl. Any superpower, who would it be? I think transconfiguration. Transconfiguration all day. For those who don't know what that is, that's the ability to transform into any other object. that you could be like, I could transform into a pencil. Like, if I could just, what? I would get in so many fucking places. It's crazy. I'd be everywhere. I'd be in Diddy's house right now trying to get the tea. Like, Diddy, I'm the fly on the wall, literally. Listen, I'm not going to. Man, the tea I would get. And I would just transform into other things, like any other room. Like, I'll transform to a contract, like a shoelace. Transconfiguration, that's like the best superpower, if you ask me. You could be anywhere and anything at once. If you're fighting a villain, you could literally transform into air. They can't hurt you. Hello, loophole. And we're definitely going to have our Blurty Girl Wednesdays, where I go on my Blurty Girl rants and all that jazz. All right, next question. Ooh, who gave me this question? What's your perspective on the role of technology in our lives, and how do you think it will shape our future? Y'all asking me these random ass questions. I thought y'all was going to ask me some cute, like, you know, what's your favorite position? Like, I don't know. What's your perspective on the role of technology in our lives, and how do you think it will shape our future? Let me see. I think technology, especially being a millennial, where I remember the world where the internet just came on the scene, I think technology plays a huge role in our lives. AI is sweeping, okay? AI is taking jobs. I actually saw a job that's looking for people to teach AI how to be more human. I'm like, listen, I am a conspiracy theorist. Like, we should have Conspiracy Mondays. I'm going to think about it. But if you didn't watch Terminator or Demolition Man, I suggest you watch Demolition Man and Terminator. Okay, Walter know what I'm talking about. Watch that shit and then think about today. Okay, that's why I need to go back and watch and take notes. The Matrix, all of that. Although, by the way, they were all written by Black women. Just saying. Prophecy. Just putting a little out there, a little fun fact. All right, next question. I think I answered that completely. Yeah. And how it's going to shape our future. It's just going to shape our future. Oh, wait, this question got cut off. What's your favorite topic to discuss and why? I think I just kind of answered that. Conspiracies, because I just like shooting the shit and just going down the wormhole of conspiracies and like stuff like that. Apart from that, I do like to discuss anime, like, character development, like TV raised me, sitcoms, and just kind of like psychoanalyzing TV shows, rewriting how they should have went. My favorite thing to rant about, which I'm going to put this out here right now, and y'all could go ahead and answer my Q&A if you want an episode on this, but I feel like Goku is the most over freaking rated anime character of the century, period. First of all, everyone's on Goku's D. He's not even a good father. Okay, Piccolo raised Gohan. Come on now. He was out here killing himself or in the underworld or upper world, I forgot. Just fighting. He leaving Chi-Chi alone with them kids twice. Okay? Nah, Piccolo raised Gohan. Goku ain't shit. Vegeta is a real man. That's a man's man right there, okay? Y'all go ahead and keep y'all little Gokus. I need a Vegeta. I like him quiet and strong. Let's see. Oh, this is a cute one. What do you hope listeners will gain from your podcast? You know, I hope you guys gain a sense of belonging. Just knowing that you're not alone in your feelings when it comes to certain things. I guess I would like you guys to gain a sense of me, of who I am. Because I feel like I tend to... Not me calling myself fake. I tend to show people different versions of myself. But, you know, it's necessary. The same version I bring to work isn't the same version I bring to my friends, you know? I have a whole different hat. I have a whole different wig, actually. If you see me in a wig in Brooklyn, just know I'm in work mode. It's Valinger, okay? Side note, insert commercial here. Is your job got you fucked up? Do you want to quit? Valinger Co., LLC, contact me directly, and I will help you revamp your resume, all right? I'm going to make that commercial a little sexier, and I'm going to promote that. But yeah, like, no. I just want everyone to realize that you're not alone. And people are, life is life right now. Y'all been to the grocery store? I'm making life decisions at Target. Like, do I really need, like, do I really need the organic vegan peanut butter? Do I? Life is life, and I just want people to, you know, find a space where they can just clock out of their own matrix and just listen and just shoot the shit. Hop in the car, bro. We got the tunes bumping. Let's see. What's the biggest mistake you've made in a past relationship, and what did you learn from it? Good question. I think the biggest mistake I've made in a past relationship is staying somewhere for too long because of outside. You know what? I'm thinking of personal relationships, like romantic, and I'm also thinking of business relationships too, because I low-key want to say the same thing for both. I would say my biggest mistake is just staying in a situation based off of everybody else's opinions or what I think they're going to think of me when it comes to, like, you know, romantic relationships. I was in a relationship previously before when, prior to having weight loss surgery, I was in it. And then I had my surgery, and I was changing within that relationship. And even though before I had the surgery, I felt that him and I were not a good match for each other, I stayed in because of fear. And then it started becoming, well, I'm losing weight. I don't want people to think just because I lost weight that I think I'm better than him, or I don't want to, you know, be with him. So it's like, oh, my mom knows him. Oh, my brother's like him. So I started making all these excuses for why I should stay in a relationship. And none of that had to do with me actually being deeply in love with this person and wanting to progress. And ultimately, I realized that by me staying in the relationship longer than I should have, I was not only hurting myself, but hurting him, you know, which isn't fair to him either. And same thing with jobs. Like I learned that I can't be too comfortable in a job for too long, especially if there's no growth. Because listen, when God expects you to, if God is in your life and you're making God, the universe, Allah, Jehovah, a priority in your life, and you're and there's always signs telling us when to stay and when to go. But if you keep on getting blocked from progression, like, why are you there? Like, why are we here? Is the money going up? Not really. Like, why are we here? So, like, I think it was staying at jobs for too long. That was my issue too. I'm a Taurus. I'm loyal until I'm not. And you know, we are about our money, honey. If the money ain't making sense, it ain't making sense. I got to go. So sorry to this man. Let's see. Oh, this question's kind of like the last one. What's the most difficult lesson you've had to learn, and how has it shaped you? Let me think about this. What's the most difficult lesson that I've learned, and how has it shaped you? Yeah. Okay. Look at me coming through revelations. I think the most difficult lesson that I've learned was that I am responsible for staying in my trauma, and it's only up to me to decide to make a change. And I'm the only one who is applicable for making that change. So a prime example is I was a kid who was big, black, and bullied, right? I grew up in a predominantly white area. I'm also Haitian American. So y'all know being Haitian in the 90s was not for the weak. So add that to, you know, not having a lot of friends and just being, you know, bullied, I would hold on to trauma, and I would be relooping trauma and carrying it with me, even though I was doing it subconsciously. When I realized that I was holding on to things I shouldn't have, I would just blame those scenarios for why I'm like that, instead of taking, you know, responsibility to say, like, you know what, Val, you're the only one enforcing this narrative. Something that's happened to you 10, 15 years ago, you're the only one who remembers. You're the only one replaying that. Everyone else is moving on with their lives. Why are you letting these little moments in life hold you down? You know? And then when I think about, like, even my weight situation, Like, I didn't understand nutrition. When I started to learn nutrition and learn the habits that I was doing, it's like, Val, you want to lose weight. If you want to lose weight, why are you eating fast food every other day? You know, why are you not at least cutting down your portion? You know better now, you know? Granted, and this is something that we can all kind of apply to our lives. Our parents did the best that they could with what they knew. So it's like after a certain age, you can't blame your everyday on childhood trauma all the time. You can acknowledge it, yes, and see where it has plagued you in life. Go to therapy, talk it out with who you need to talk it out with. But at the end of the day, you are responsible for turning around your life. And that is a lesson that I've recently learned, maybe within the past 4 years or so, 4 to 5 years, since I moved to New York, actually. So that was the most difficult lesson, is just learning that I'm responsible for keeping the trauma alive. You know, we're the ones who add the fuel to the fire, you know? And we can, you know, reset it. Set it and forget it. Y'all remember that infomercial? Oh, God. Y'all remember infomercials? I have so much shit that I told myself, when I'm 18, I'm going to buy it for me. You know, the little blue and yellow commercials? And it's like, call 1-800-555. Like, set it and forget it. Girl, I used to be right there. Okay, number one. Oh, this is a cute one. This is cute. What inspired you to start this podcast? Well, I kind of said it already. What inspired me was I've been talking about podcasting / YouTubing since I could remember, like as a preteen. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have a YouTube one day. I started my YouTube channel. If y'all, first of all, side note, if y'all listen to this right now, I need y'all to break. Go ahead and go add me on YouTube, called Valerie with a V. Valkyrie Rain. Y'all can go on the Instagram too, find the link and go ahead and subscribe. But if you look in the details, I made this YouTube channel 10 years ago and I just started using it now, child. And I realized that, and this is also to kind of go with the previous question I answered about, you know, reliving and relooping my trauma. And also in the beginning where I would let my super ego kind of hold me back, like, oh, I'm not ready to do anything on YouTube. Oh, if I look funny, oh, I'm not comfortable without, I had all these excuses in the world. But it's just like, you know, I feel like I'm just meant for so much more. And God is still working in my life full in effect. And I've been given a vision and a prophecy. And it's like, baby girl, I brought you to the water. I brought you to the sacred land. Like, I need you to move. And y'all know, when the higher power is shifting you somewhere and they're throwing all these subliminals and these signs and these little neon signs like, hey, right here, do this. And you're just ignoring, you keep on hitting snooze. God will shake you up out that bed. You cannot hit snooze on your destiny. So this is my version of not hitting snooze on my destiny. And yeah, I just wanted to bring the podcast because I feel like a lot of people need a really cool, good friend. And I think one of my great qualities is that I'm a really good fucking friend. I am. So now everybody gets to be my friend for the free. Okay. What's the most difficult truth you've had to accept and how did you come to terms with it? Dang. I'm like, what psychologist is in my DMs dropping these questions? Oh my God. I feel like I kind of answered this. What's the most difficult truth that you had to accept and how did you come to difficult truth? It's kind of like the same thing. Like, I'm in control of my destiny. And like, if I don't rise to the occasion, I'm never going to rise. So, and if I want to sit here and wallow in self-pity and all this shit, then don't complain why you don't have stuff. Get up and do the work. So that was a difficult truth. And that came down to my weight loss, my relationships, my job relations, just my creative life. And even like with my personal life, you know, in denial. Oh, you know what? The most difficult truth that I'm thinking about now is when my weight loss, I formed my personality as the funny black girl, right? And I'm a big girl at that. I'm 5'9". I'm 5.975. So I guess you could say I'm 5'10", but on my license, it says I'm 5'9". Pero, so I'm tall and I'm voluptuous So it's like I kind of fell into the niche of the funny big girl, right? And I'm black, so you know, we got swag. So I'm the funny black girl, the funny big black girl, right? So I kind of fell and kind of shaped that into my persona. Like if y'all ever watched The Parkers, I mirrored my persona around Nikki Parker. That was my example of someone who's successful, who looks like me. If you write it out on paper and she was nice and pretty. I love Monique, by the way. I'm going to put that on my vision board. I'm going to meet Auntie one day. So yeah, I kind of shaped my persona around that. And when I was losing weight, I was going through a transition because you know what? I'm still me, Val, but it was hard finding the balance of who I was and who I'm becoming now. I'm still transitioning. Like, girl, I thought I was in my whole butterfly era, wings out, but no, baby, I'm still in my cocoon. I'm learning, I'm growing. And when it's time for me to pop out, y'all gonna know when I'm on my butterfly shit. And I thought I was, but no, baby, I'm here on the cocoon life. But that's a difficult truth, just realizing that I'm no longer that version of myself that I created as a form of protection, you know, to how I can deflect like people who would try to pick on me and just how I found my sense of self. And also allowing myself to grow out of that. Because I feel like we get comfortable in the pockets that we make for ourselves. You know, we become comfortable. And also, I'm still a maiden. I haven't transitioned into becoming a mother or a wife yet. So even with that, there's always constant change happening. And I'm a Taurus. We don't like changes. So that was a difficult truth I had to tell myself. Like, listen, Val, you're not that big, funny black girl anymore. You know, you're just a girl who's funny. And that's okay. Like, I shouldn't even made my personality just that, because I feel like it's so easy to put yourself in a niche or a pocket to what society will accept of you. And that's not true. You can be whoever the fuck you want to be all the time. Valerie for president 2024. Child, could you imagine if I was president? Oh, it'd be so lit. We'd have Wig Wednesdays. Everybody wears a new wig. Wig Wednesdays. Let's see. This is a cute one. Y'all cute. If you could have a conversation with your future self, what would you ask? Is that a BBL or did you work that out? Now I'm playing. What would I ask I would ask myself. If I saw that my booty was sitting high, I'd be like, hey, girl, did we go ahead and get that BBL done or did we work this out? Because real talk, I have like, so if you look at my Instagram, you see pictures of my body. I'm very top heavy. I have a waist under here, but my boobs are really big. So I've never had like a good black girl booty. Like it's my thing. Like sign me up for the BBL club. But I also haven't had kids yet. So, you know, your body changes with pregnancy. So I'm like, let me accommodate. Let's wait a little bit. So I told myself, I'm going to work my butt out. When I'm in the gym, I want to build a booty. Okay. So, but no, that's just me playing around. But if I could have a conversation with my future self, what would I ask? I would ask, what should I do different to make it easier for you now? Like, I'm full on the time travel shit. But then again, she'd be living in an alternate timeline. That's some space-time continuum stuff. We could get into that on another episode or two. Ooh, oh my God, this is so funny. I just kind of low-key answered this. Let me see here. Ah, come on, paper, unroll. All right. If you could create a new holiday, what would it be and how would people celebrate it? Well, there's already a Val Day, Valentine's Day. So I guess that's taken. I think I would do... It would have to be something kind of like Halloween where people... Like cosplay day, where you get to dress up as anything or anyone you want to be and just walk around and be free. Like free day, be free to be. Damn, this could kind of go left because I'm thinking of the Purge where you could do whatever the fuck you want, Halloween, dress how you want. But I low-key would want people to come together like Thanksgiving, Christmas kind of thing. I don't know. I'm going to call it cosplay day. Like a free day. Just people to be free and free in their nature, free of what they do. But it's giving Purge, the Exodus. All right. I'm going to see. If there's a movie that comes out, I want my 10%. That'd be a fine. That I feel like I just described like a that Purge movie that was on Halloween. That was a good one. I'm terrified to watch The Purge nowadays because that shit feels real. I'm over answering these questions. Can you tell already? What's the most important lesson you've learned so far in your life journey? I feel like I've answered this 600 times already. What's the most important lesson you've learned so far in my life? If there's a will, there's a way. Like, don't be afraid to take chances on yourself and new opportunities. Because, like, y'all know, I think, okay, I chalk that up to, like, you remember when you had, like, your first job and, like, you didn't know how to, like, handle your money, but then life is lifing and, like, you know, you progress in life. It's like, now you have an apartment, now you have more responsibilities, but it's like, say if you're not someone who was, like, good with your money, you have to learn how to be good with your money, but you want to do stuff. It's like when you have a will to do something, like the universe will open doors. Like even if it doesn't make sense right now, but you put it out there and just wait, it will come back. Just be good to people and good karma. And this is the karmic year, okay? So yeah, if there's a will, there's a way. What's your take on love at first sight and do you believe in it? Love at first sight. I don't believe in love at first sight. I believe in lust at first sight if somebody look good. But me, I'm a sapiosexual. Like, you need to be intellectually intriguing to me. Like, I don't really have a physical type. I feel like if you put all my boyfriends and all the guys I spoke to, talked to, hooked up with, like, all in, like, a lineup, you're going to be like, what's her type? That's just me. I don't believe in love at first sight. I do believe in, you know, connection. It has to be on an intellectual, emotional energy. But it's so hard to say love because, you know. Okay, I'm almost done with all these questions. Dang, I'm just going to take these out. I have 3 questions left and I will wrap it up like a snack pack. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. If I could go back in time and give advice to my younger self, what would it be? Oh, this is a good one. What would I tell the young Val, young Hacho? What would I tell me? You know, I'm about my coins. I'd be like, hey, girl, go ahead and invest in that Netflix that's going around the neighborhood. Invest in that. Invest in Google. I think everyone would do that shit. But on a personal level, I would tell myself that I'm beautiful. And that I don't need to, that all the trauma I'm relooping in my mind is just a projection of everyone else around me. And it's not true. And I would just kind of be like, look at me. We fabulous. And my little self would be like, we are fabulous. You know? So that's what I would just instill that in me at a younger age, just so that I can, you know, I would just be so much further now. And definitely want to get that Netflix going. So that's what I would do. Okay, second to last question. Oh my God. These are all the same almost. If you could go back in time and relive any moment, what would it be and why? Relive any moment back in time. Just relive any moment. I don't think I would relive. Oh, you know what? I know what era I would relive. Boy, oh boy. Here's that ego about to come out. Man, I would go back to high school and cuss some motherfuckers out. Boy, I was so nice. And you know what? My mother raised me to be a very nice, you know, delicate young lady. You know, she raised a lady. However, and I'm not a violent person at all. I know, like, that's the thing. People would talk a lot of shit to me and they would talk shit. But I was a very sensitive kid. I was like, what the hell? Why are people so mean to me? I just want to be their friend. But nah, like now that I'm older and I reflected back, I'm like, you're just projecting onto me because you feel like I'm an easy target. Man, I would cuss so many people out and read them fulfilled, boy. And then also, I would definitely, now that I know that I have ADHD, I definitely would have did the tools and would have just done better in school, I guess. just apply myself a little bit harder, because I realized it's really hard for me to apply myself for things I don't care about. Like, I didn't get, like, I think, you know what it is? As soon as I got friends and there were distractions, I noticed how my grades, like, dipped in high school versus middle school. And then in college, when I was actually paying for my grades, oh, baby, that was all A's and B's. So, yeah. I would definitely relive some moments and give people they lick read, you know? You know. But, you know, God is good all the time. And that's the thing about time and karma. I've seen that karma play out in real life, baby, and it's satisfying. Yes, Lord, it's so satisfying. God don't play about me. Let's see. Okay, this is a good last question. What's your definition of success, and how do you measure it on a primal level? I feel like success is happiness. You know, you could be the poorest man, the richest man, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're happy. So success is happiness. What brings you the most joy in the day? Like, most of us are clocking in and clocking out of jobs that we don't love, that it's just a marker. It's just a line of support for our families. But then I have to ask myself every day, like, am I happy today? Because you have to thank the universe for what life has provided. Like, do I have a house? Do I have somewhere to lay my head? You know, do I have food, subsistence? You know, these are the things that I feel is success, is happiness. You may not be as quote unquote successful as your neighbor or who you think, because at the end of the day, we're all watching each other's highlights. Nobody's out here giving you the real tea. Do you guys remember that toxic, that era of Facebook, like early 2010s, where people would just rant? I feel like Facebook is where, like, everybody's aunties and uncles just rant about every single aspect of their life. And we're like, bro, we don't even care. That's why Instagram's popping. We just see the pictures and we keep it moving. And that's why people are podcasting now, because they just need to get their feelings out. But yeah, that's success. Success is being happy, okay? You have food, you have shelter. If you have love, if you have children, like, whatever makes you happy is happy. Dang, I can't believe I answered all these questions. Look at me. Look at God. But I hope this gave y'all a little insight as to who I am. This podcast is going to be the breath of fresh air that you have been waiting for. My mom named me Valerie. My daddy spelled it Valerie because I'm a ray of sunshine. Okay. And I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to my very first, but not so first, episode of Passenger Seat Parlay. I am having great segments coming up. We're going to be talking about Teenage Trauma Thursdays, Blurty Girl Wednesdays, Hotel Saturdays, okay? You name it, I got it. We're going to have some guest appearances. I'm low-key trying to manifest Tabitha Brown on this channel. And I'm putting it out here, first episode. She going to be on here. We're going to put it out. We're going to see how many years it takes, but she's coming on here. I'm going to meet Auntie. And I even have a wig named Tabitha. So, you know, I got to wear my Tabitha wig when she pull up. So, yeah. And I just want to say thank you again to Brooklyn Podcast Studio, Josh and the team, my dog Walter here right now in the cut, for helping me kind of put my vision together. And, yeah. Just tell your friends, join the parlay. I am your host, Valkyrie Rain. You can find me on Instagram, Valerie with a V. YouTube, right now I got like 30 subscribers. We're trying to get to 44 because, you know, we divine on my time. And also tune in to Spiritual Sundays, where I bless y'all with a sermon. I'm giving my tithes back to the universe with my messages and love. So y'all have a great day, y'all. Thank you for joining the parlay. Bye.